pushing for that for years, so I'm glad it finally happened. Oh, yeah. All right. What are we going to do? Bishop is off this week. Livia's not feeling well with her pancreatitis, and so he's there with her. He's supposed to be on a trip, but then end up having to be there with her, so she's not. She's really struggling. Y'all pray for her. You know, it's hard for her to eat. And then when she does eat, it's extremely painful. So, all righty. So I'm scatterbrained. I'll stay that way, but okay. But what am I going to talk about? We studied a while back in our Tuesday night Bible study. Went through the book of Joshua. Joshua being a picture of spirit-filled living. You know, not a picture of your born-again experience. That's a picture of coming out of Egypt across the Red Sea as a you know, Old Testament type and picture of someone being born again. But crossing the Jordan into Canaan, it's just a great picture and allegory of all those things that it does, of spirit-filled living across. And the key to the spirit-filled living there in Joshua was about possessing the land. I mean, an act, they went in there. God had given it to them. You know, he'd been speaking to them about, I've given the enemies into your hands. But their part was simply to show up for the battle and possess it so it becomes theirs, right? That's a real key in the Christian life and in our walk about it. Everything that we have in Christ is learning how to possess it, right? Because it's ours. And not just thinking, well, it's ours, but I want to experience it, don't you? Like everything that Jesus has, everything he won for us, all the fullness of the blessings, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places we have in Christ is ours. That's got to be a bunch of them. If I've only experienced just a small portion of them, and I want to possess it. And part of the possessing sometimes is driving away the enemy to possess, because he's there to steal, kill, and destroy, right? He's there to steal. You've heard to steal the blessing. He really is. And so the way we do that, we'll talk about that tonight, is just, you know, simply just possessing it, claiming it, you know, getting that blessing. And I'm not a word of faith guy. You know, truth and error are just right next door to each other. They're just really close. And when that whole word of faith thing, I think it was maybe in the 70s where the word of faith, 60s and 70s, came. You know, you would think, well, if I say it, I get it, you know. And but there was just a truth about that, about speaking the truth, you know, and a heart of faith thing of claiming what is mine, you know. And it can only be mine if God says it's mine. I can't get something that's not mine, right? I remember a friend of mine prayed for, he wanted a, I forgot what year model, Thunderbird. Maybe 65 Thunderbird. And he had a picture of it on his refrigerator, and he just prayed, you know, God's going to give me that, you know, because it's mine. And somebody who didn't know it, or he got something in the mail, and he got this little toy 65 Thunderbird. But he was, he used to be really heavily into that, and he was just laughing about it. You know, God kind of did that as a joke to him. So here you go. So, okay. So we're going to be kind of talking about, I'm just using up some time here. So, it's kind of a short word. Y'all don't mind short words, though, do you? Everybody likes short words, don't they? Say what you got to say, shut up, right? And this word that's been stirring in me for a while, something the Lord spoke to me, a couple of years ago, I had a sleepless night, got up, and I really felt like the Lord. It's one of those times where you just can hear him really good, and he tells you, like, what channel to turn to on your TV, you know, so I turned to this channel, and I think it was Daystar, if I'm not, and there was this guy on there, this older gentleman in his 80s, and what he was talking about was a commanded blessing, you know, and what he meant was God, and he took that, we're going to read some scripture out of that, we did it in our Bible study the other night, Deuteronomy 28, and where God commanded the blessing. God commanding a commanded blessing is like when Elijah, the Lord told Elijah that go to Zarephath. Is that how you pronounce it? And their widow there will provide for you. All right. It's a blessing, but it's a commanded blessing. It's already there. Go get it. It's yours. Okay. Other than just we think of just all the blessings of God. A commanded blessing, something that's already commanded, it's already in motion, and we go and get to experience it. And what this guy was talking about is that God has commanded, as believers, we have a commanded blessing. God commanded the blessing. Of course, the people there on that TV show was trying to use that, you know, for everybody to send $1,000 in. And that guy was like, no, it's not what God is saying. There's a commanded blessing that you need to rise up and speak. That's what he was saying. And they're, yes, right, speak that $1,000. They took advantage. I felt sorry for the guy because he really had a word that he felt like the Lord spoke to him. And they were milking it literally. And, okay. So in Joshua chapter 8, we'll be there. Then we'll jump back into Deuteronomy. Help him, Lord. Think about dealing with chronic pain, especially headaches, is your ability to put words together, thoughts, and turn them into words. But Joshua chapter 8, of course, is the conquest of Ai when they go and capture Ai. Verse 28. Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. He hanged the key of Ai on a tree until evening. At sunset, Joshua gave command, and they took his body down from the tree and threw it at the entrance of the city gate, raised it over a great heap of stones that stands today. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal. Just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones, of which no man had wielded an iron tool, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which had been written in the presence of the sons of Israel. All Israel with their elders and officers and their judges were standing on both sides of the ark before the Levitical priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as the native. Half of them stood in front of Mount Gerizim, half of them stood in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given command at first to bless the people of Israel. Then afterwards he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. And in Deuteronomy chapter 27, you see this about what Moses commanded. So when Joshua went in there after they conquered that, Moses told them what they were to do. There were these two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and they were to go between them. And have the ark there. And they were to split up six tribes over on Mount Ebal, six tribes over on Mount Gerizim. Now, it's a funny place here because right in this valley on this side where Mount Gerizim is, it's all green and lush vegetation. And on Mount Ebal, it is rocky. Just nothing. Okay? Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27 to 28. And this is the story here in chapter 27 of Moses telling them what they did was took lime and put it on these stones. And they had to be uncut stones. No, person could cut them with any kind of metal tool at all. And they were to put the lime on there. And then they wrote the whole law of Moses on those stones. And they were to put them on the Mount Ebal side, right, and read from them. Read every single bit of it, you know, all of the law. I was thinking about how in the world they did that today. You know, that must have been a lot of tedious stuff. But all through the book of Joshua, I love the stones because, as Dan continued, there's so many types about what they did with the stones, putting them in the Jordan, taking them out, putting them on the side. You know, everywhere they went, they would stack these things. So this represents the law. Right. The law that's written on stone and not on men's heart. Right. And so they did it. And it had nothing to do really with the tribes and the meanings of this. But I will see if anything I left out here. Where they were to offer sacrifices. And this is in chapter 27. Deuteronomy. And he just said in verse 8 that they were to write on these stones all the law, which we said that. The Moses and the Levitical priests spoke to all of Israel, saying, "Be silent and listen, O Israel. This day you have become a people for the Lord. You shall therefore obey the Lord your God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you." And Moses also charged the people that day, saying, "When you cross the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And for the curse, there shall stand on Mount Ebal Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall answer and say to the men of Israel with a loud voice." And then they would start. What they had to do is they started just pronouncing curses. "Cursed are you if you do this, if you break this law. Cursed are you if you disobey this. Cursed." So they're shouting these curses, right? To Israel, they're shouting to them across there. Just all these curses that would happen to you if you disobeyed the law. And we know that the law was given to us as in the New Testament just to show man that he couldn't do it, right? That he could not keep the law. So, starting in verse 28. Verse 1. "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord." Okay? So real key here is about, you know, obeying the law and obeying the Lord. And all these blessings would come upon you and there would be curses if you couldn't. Okay? Telling that to people who couldn't keep the law, that it was impossible, right? So we know what that's pointing toward. We know that everything in the Old Testament is pointing toward the cross, types of Jesus, you know. One of being the law, you know, written on men's hearts, as it talks about. And then over here, representing all the blessing, the green, the life, right? But it all depended on their obedience. Okay, which they can never do. Here's the good news about the gospel. Jesus obeyed. He was the only one that fulfilled the law. What we could not do, says in Romans chapter 8, God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and fulfilled the law. So Jesus fulfilled our obedience on your behalf. Okay? So when he did that, then what he did away with are the curses. They're all gone. Right? If you read Galatians chapter 3, they quote that, "Curses everyone who hangs on the tree," you know. And it says that Jesus himself became that curse. So the curse that was supposed to be on them for not being able to obey the law, Jesus took that on. He obeyed. And he obeyed this on our behalf. He's already done it. He obeyed for you. He kept it. So, therefore, the blessing is yours. All the blessings. We're going to read these blessings. So, as we read through them, just think about them. One thing I do very consistently is I read through these blessings over my life, over my family, over everything. Because they're mine in Christ. All these blessings are mine. Okay? I don't have to obey to get them. That's already been done. All obedience has been taken care of. So now these are mine. They're a commanded blessing that's already there. All right? Not something you hope will get there. It is a commanded blessing for you that's already there. Okay? It's really important, I think, as we do this, that because faith rises up in our heart, because as you read, if you go back and read Romans chapter 4, it talks about that, you know, the descendants of Abraham and the blessed. All this is part of the blessing of Abraham. By faith is ours, right? One thing there real quick, and then we'll flip back over here and read through all these blessings. It's in Romans 4. Five. It says, but to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. And just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. So part of the blessing of the Lord, the blessing that's yours, is an incredible blessing here that David talks about our sins being covered and God not taking your sins into account. That's a commanded blessing. That God doesn't take your sin into account and hold it against you. Isn't that incredible? I think he holds my sin against me all the time. Y'all ever think like that? Or that you haven't done it, but that's part of the commanded blessing. David's speaking of here. That's ours in Christ. We kind of know that, okay, we're forgiven, but we are forgiven. And when we blow it, Bishop was talking about that Sunday, you know, the whole thing is not to hold it against us, it's just call us back to who we are. That we're inheritors of this awesome blessing. That's just a little side issue, and if you want to go back and read verse 16 of that chapter is about a guarantee. You're guaranteed this blessing. The guarantee that is yours. All right, back in Deuteronomy 28, and we were just going to read through these. Make it your own prayer. And how, and I think it puts things into action, you know. All right. Verse 2 again, we read that. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Okay? Jesus did that. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. You're blessed. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, the produce of your ground, the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. So your offspring, God commanded a blessing. They're blessed. Okay? So I started speaking this over my children. Lord, when I'm praying for them, they're blessed. Right? They have a commanded blessing on them right now. And I want them to experience that blessing. Okay? And I'm possessing this blessing. I'm going in the land, and if I need to run their harassers off, then good, right? Because there's a commanded blessing on them. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Verse 6. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and you're blessed when you go out. Right? That means all the time. Coming in and going out your daily life, right? I like when these people say, you know, a lot of people say, hey, how you doing? They say, I'm blessed. You ever heard anybody say that? And they always say that. It's really true. I think I'm going to start saying it. I'm blessed. Verse 7, here's a real cool one. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way, and they will flee from you in seven ways. I was telling the story last night when we went to New Orleans. I spent a couple of days there. That was kind of the Christmas. I was our Christmas to each other, me and TC, and to the girls, because it's the off season there. And so the hotels are really cheap. I mean, just like cheaper than that one across the street right there. So we went down. I hadn't been to New Orleans in 20 years. And a couple of things you need to remember before you go to New Orleans that I had kind of forgotten. How demonic that place is. You know, there's like a big thing down there is, you know, these little voodoo doll heads. And voodoo is a big thing. And all them things are even named that. So witchcraft is really big. And then Jackson Square, there's psychics everywhere, you know, everywhere you go. And so the first night we were there, we got there kind of late. I had a real demonic visitation. And it was shoo, get out of here, didn't work. I could see it, and it was physically pressing me down, you know. So the scripture popped in my mind. So it says the enemy will flee before you. That's your blessing. So I got up and went to town. I got in the holy water, you know. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. I turned worship music on. I was praying in tongues, and it left. I could feel it leave. It's just a wicked thing. And I asked the Lord what that thing, what was that, Lord? And he said it was the ruling principality of that area, of the French Quarter, that area. Right? Now, I said that to say, I'm nothing, okay? But what Jesus had given us, and that what he says right here, that's part of our inheritance. That's part of every spiritual blessing, is that your enemies will flee before you. Right? And we know that. We know they rise up against you to be defeated. Because they are defeated, they will come out in one way, then they'll said flee in seven different ways. They're just trying to flee in seven ways. I mean, they're getting out of there any way they can. Maybe not the way they came in, even, you know, just whatever opening they can get. Verse 8, the Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to. It's already blessed. Just think about that in your work, right? Your work has a commanded blessing. Dan's work, there's a commanded blessing on his work that he puts his hand to, right? Put your hand to and will bless you in the land, verse 8, which the Lord God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his way, so all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. Then the Lord will make you abound in prosperity. It's a great word, right? The Lord will make you abound in prosperity. And the command was, verse 8, if we read that, if we kind of missed that, I didn't emphasize that, is the Lord will command the blessing on you. But the Lord, verse 9, will establish you as a holy people, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments. 10, so all the peoples of the earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they'll be afraid. 11, and the Lord will make you abound in prosperity. In the offspring of your body, again, the offspring of your beast, the produce of the ground, your job, all our jobs, in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers to give to you. The Lord will open up for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain into your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You only will be above, and you will not be underneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, and I charge you today that you faithfully keep, which watch over and observe them. All right? So, there is something to that, y'all. There is something, too, about something rising up in you and rising up in me and taking that blessing. The commanded blessing is yours. That you possess it. Right? So you can have a commanded blessing there on whatever work or whatever. And if we're battling with fear or whatever, unbelief, then that commanded blessing is just sitting there. But when you say, that's my blessing, you know, you just said right here, Lord, part of the blessings in Christ is that this is blessed. I receive that, Lord. I'm possessing that. Then you won't be underneath. You know what I mean? There's something really true that I'm asking the Lord to continue to show me and to teach us. It's about just simply just walking in faith and walking in our inheritance. Our inheritance isn't yours. It's mine. Now, possess it. Make it yours. So, my children are blessed, right? But I need to speak that blessing over them, command that blessing. Because they can be harassed by the enemy too, but see, they're blessed. There's a commanded blessing on them to prosper them, and I need to speak that over them, right? Or whatever, all of our life. This thing covered our whole lives. Everything, everywhere we go, or going out, or coming in. Just think of that, walking in that kind of faith. Right? If you just walk all day long thinking, man, I'm just really blessed. Man, I'm blessed. I've got all the blessed. Lord, you promised it. You commanded it. It's there. It's mine for the taking. You know, that would really kill in battle our unbelief, wouldn't it? Because I spend the majority of my day, most of the time, stressed about stuff. Y'all are battling the dislike. You know, is this going to work out? Or how's this going to, am I just going to crash and burn? You know, and I'm thinking, what am I thinking, Lord? He just kept speaking. I kept trying to do something else tonight. He wouldn't let me do it. You know. Because I have so many promises to me. He's so good speaking His word about my life and about my health and my ministry. That's just part of that, the blessing. I'm getting just insight into it. But it's a commanded blessing. It's mine. I, by faith, have to possess it. I, by faith, have to take it. And that just, yeah, it makes the enemy flee, right? Meaning that if I didn't rise up, then he's going to be there. He's going to hold me down. So, anyway, I hope that made sense to you. Let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you for all these dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, you just continue to show us the unfathomable riches of Christ. All the blessings, Lord, that Abraham, the blessings you spoke here, all these blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, that we're to possess our possession. Lord, help us to walk by faith. Help us to experience this. Help us to be who we are in Christ. Lord, thank you. Refresh all these people, Lord, from the day. Give every person in here a fresh feeling of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.